Paul wrote, "Ye are our epistle," or letter, "written in our hearts, known and read of all men." 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Thus Christianity as a whole, and each individual believer in particular, is a book for the world to read. This book of Christianity is in two parts. Part 1, inward regeneration. Part 2, outward manifestation. By inward regeneration, we mean the new birth, which every true believer has experienced. When the lost sinner, the believer trusts in Christ, that moment, he is indwelt by the Spirit of God, who imparts to him a divine nature. And the communication of that divine nature is the new birth. Now the world cannot see this transaction. It's invisible to human eyes. It is an inward and vitally personal experience. By outward manifestation, we refer to the evidence by which this new life is expressed before the eyes of the world in terms of a good, clean, moral, honest, and upright mode of life, together with a bold and uncompromising witness to Christ's work of redemption, his saving grace, his keeping power, and satisfying presence. A man was once asked what version of the Bible he preferred. He answered, "My mother's version," which he translates daily in terms of a godly life. This is the book of Christianity. Thus, whether it be by the book of creation, the book of humanity, the book of scripture, or the book of Christianity, God has revealed himself so that all people are without excuse in his sight. Question is, what shall be your reaction to these four books? May you be led to own your need of a Savior. Trust in the finished work of Christ, and henceforth own him as your Lord, and live for his glory. If this is the result, then this talk on the four books shall not have been in vain. Let us think today of that wonderful subject, the forgiveness of sins. One of the great articles in a well-known creed, which is repeated each Sunday by thousands of people, states, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." Thus, in a general way, the fact of the forgiveness of sins is confessed. But alas, in the lives of so many who recite the creed, the forgiveness of sins is not enjoyed as a blessed and present experience. David rejoiced in the knowledge of the forgiveness of his sins and sang, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." He could say of Jehovah, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." There is little doubt in the minds of most people that all men by nature are sinners. They realize in a general way that sin consists of any deviation from the right, either in thought, word, deed, or attitude. Within every breast, there is a consciousness of failure to attain the ideal in life. This consciousness of failure produces a sense of guilt, which in turn results in the fear of the righteous judgment of a holy God. Though this fear at times may be masked by an air of indifference, yet it is there nevertheless, and it is still true that conscience doth make cowards of us all. There is also a hazy idea in the minds of many that it is possible to have one's sins forgiven, but just how this forgiveness may be obtained is a problem they have not yet solved. If one were to approach some of these individuals who have recited, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins," and inquire, "How does God forgive sins? Upon what ground can he righteously pardon a guilty sinner?" Many would have to confess their ignorance on this subject. With a view to making clear this question of forgiveness, the words of the Apostle Paul, as found in Acts 13, are pertinent. "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified or declared righteous from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Let's have a look at these wonderful words. First, we discover that God's forgiveness is a revealed one. Paul said, "Be it known unto you." God wants people to know that forgiveness of sins may be obtained. God does not desire that any soul shall be eternally lost. For he said himself, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die?" Christ commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God's word puts it thus. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Our Savior warned his hearers. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Truly there are none so deaf as those that will not hear, none so blind as those that will not see. Thus the forgiveness of sins is not a secret to be whispered in the ear, but a glorious truth to be proclaimed from the housetops. Second, it is a procured forgiveness. For Paul goes on to say, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Who is this man to whom alone forgiveness of sins may be obtained? It is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, who became man and died to secure for us this priceless boon. His very name, Jesus, was given to him because it means Jehovah, Savior. On the eve of his betrayal, as he instituted the Lord's Supper, he gave to his disciples the cup, saying, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There was only one way by which Christ could secure for us this blessing of forgiveness. He himself must bear those sins in his own body and endure at the hands of a holy God all the judgment due to our sins. And that judgment was death. Thus we read, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He endured at the hands of a holy God the full penalty due to our sins. Christ's work upon the cross has satisfied all God's demands against the sinner, in proof of which God raised him up from the dead. We are not urged to work for forgiveness, or pray for forgiveness, or pay for forgiveness. We are urged to receive the forgiveness that Christ has made possible and which God offers to all. Third, it is an offered forgiveness. That is to say, God presents it to all men everywhere. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It is not offered because we deserve it. For all we have deserved at God's hands is eternal banishment. This unparalleled offer comes to us through the great kindness and love of God our Savior. Christ's finished work upon the cross makes it possible for God, in perfect righteousness and yet in infinite grace, to offer this forgiveness to every lost and guilty sinner of Adam's race. We read elsewhere, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whatever your past may have been, however dark and dreadful may be the sins that lurk in that past, the forgiveness of sins is offered to you by the God of all grace today. Fourth, it is an individual forgiveness. Be it known unto you. Each person in his audience was included in this statement. Salvation is a personal thing. God does not deal in mass production, but in individuals. God is a personal God. And when his forgiveness is received personally by the sinner, a personal salvation results. True, thousands of sinners have been forgiven, but each one of these thousands has been forgiven as an individual. Let each hearer separate himself in thought from every other individual on the face of the earth. Think of yourself, for the time being, as the only person in the world. Now listen, this forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. God loves you. Christ willingly bore your sins and died that you might be saved. Unto you is the word of this salvation sent. The forgiveness of sins is therefore a most personal matter that concerns each person and the Lord Jesus. Thus we read, he that hath the Son of God hath the life. Fifth, it is a conditional forgiveness. There is a definite condition attached to this forgiveness of sins. All that believe are declared righteous. The reason many do not enjoy the forgiveness of their sins is that they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no forgiveness without a definite acceptance of Christ by faith as one's own personal Savior. This word believe has puzzled some, who mistake a believing about for a believing in. Supposing you were sick and advised to send for a doctor, what doctor would you ask to come and attend you? One that you believed about, or one whom you believed in? You would certainly send for the latter and argue, I believe he is a good doctor, well able to diagnose my condition, prescribe the right remedy, and restore me to health. Therefore I will send for him, and trust myself wholly to him. Now adopt the same attitude of heart and will to the Lord Jesus. Believe that on that cross he bore your sins, took your place and died in your stead. Commit yourself to him by a definite act of faith. Receive him by faith as your Savior. Own him as the Lord of your life. And then you will have, on the assurance of God's word, the forgiveness of all your sins. Sixth, it is a present forgiveness. All that believe are justified or declared righteous by God. Some misinformed and misguided people imagine that no one can know in this life that he has the forgiveness of sins. The Bible, however, has a different story to tell. Listen carefully to these scriptures we shall quote and mark their present tenses. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Again, that ye are washed, that ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And again, by grace are ye saved through faith. Each believer, the moment he receives Christ as his Savior, is assured by the word of God itself that he is forgiven. Actually, it is a bountiful forgiveness. Paul goes on to say, all that believe are justified from all things. God's forgiveness is not only free, it is full. All the sins of a lifetime are blotted out, both from God's record and from God's remembrance, the moment that sinner trusts in Christ. To justify means to declare righteous, and God is prepared to declare every person righteous in his sight who will believe on his Son. God gives with no niggardly hands. When he loved the world. When he gave his own dear Son. When God forgives, he makes a thorough job of it. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Upon a grave in New York City is a tombstone that has but one word inscribed upon it. Forgiven. What the story is surrounding the life of that person whose body lies in that grave, we do not know. But we do know that over the life of every believer in the Lord Jesus, God has written, forgiven. Is this true of you yet, my friend? If so, then you can truthfully sing, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone, and my soul is free, and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are gone. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses.